Call in the troops is sort of like, I immediately thought of the anti-war movement, like call in the troops. They're out there and call them in. So bring the troops home. So I was in the middle of the anti-war movement. You know, I tend to be an activist. I think if you grow up and you're sort of marginalized and othered by society from the get-go, it makes you tend to not identify with the mainstream, because half of them would want to kill me on sight. And that sounds extreme, but they do all the time. And so you tend to then look for, you know, you tend to sort of reach out to the people who are also being, you know, persecuted. And so your identity goes with the underdog. And so I always did. I mean, even when I was young, I would, you know, want to go challenge bullies to a fight. And, of course, I'd always get beat up because I wasn't very good. So anyway, so my story is starting, I don't actually know how I got involved, but I wound up in Boston. And the next thing you know, I was a member of the Young Socialist Alliance, YSA, which was an arm of the SWP. It was the Socialist Workers' Party. And the Socialist Workers' Party was very active in organizing big marches and protests and things like that. So they were, there was this group called the Student Mobilization Committee, which was sort of a front group for the SWP. And when I sort of began to realize how all of this worked, like New Mob, which was in Washington, New Mobilization Committee, that was sort of a front group for CP, which is the Communist Party, and the right wing, we're always seeing communists under every rock and every bush. It was true. I mean, there was like communists everywhere. And everybody was, you know, we would have Spiro Tiagnu would speak someplace and everybody would set up tables and have literature. And we were all communists, but we all said we were students. And so it was kind of a, so there was two sides of bringing the troops. We wanted the troops to come home, but there was another set of troops in the country which were kind of attacking us all the time. And for instance, I was in Oberlin, at Oberlin College, we had this big rally of anti-war people, which were, you know, there was the Workers' League and the Spartacists and the PL, Progressive Labor Party, which were Maoists, and there was the CP people, and then, you know, it went on and on. You know, they were all groups, and they all had student-named front groups. And there we were at Oberlin, and we're all like talking about how to do the anti-organize. And also there's a lot of young people, and I was pretty old. I was like one of the older people. I was 26, and so I was pretty old. And one girl got up on the stage, and she was talking about mingling with the working class, and she even got a job in a factory, and she said she even sweated once. And I'm going like, what? Because I've always been working class. I mean, I was the only worker in all of the Socialist Workers Party and all these. I was driving a cement mixer. And so I was like the token worker, and everybody was like pushing me forward, you know, to do. So I ended up speaking at rallies and doing all this stuff. So, well, one time we were at MIT, and we were planning this big rally on Boston Common. And it ended up being a really big rally, like 100,000 people came, and McGovern spoke, and all these people. So we're organizing it. Ostensibly, the Student Mobilization Committee was organizing it. And so here we are with the Young Socialist Alliance and the SWP, but nobody knows that's what we are, but we're all there, and we're trying to make sure we got the right speakers in. And there's another group called the Progressive Labor Party, and they were the Maoists, and they were really, like, aggressive. Like, they would beat people up and try to take the mic and take over and do all these things. So we managed to keep them out of, you know, the while we were, like, doing all this planning. We kept them out. They got mad. They stormed off. And so we're deciding who's going to speak and all of that. And next thing you know, we hear that there's this, like, 60 people marching on us, you know, progressive labor people. And they're, like, marching in like, formation down the street. So this is another form of calling in the troops, only not for us. And so they're marching down the street. So we're going, like, what are we going to do? So we start taking desks out of the classrooms, and we're, like, barricading the hallway. And in MIT, you go in the main doors, and there's a big, a atrium. And we were on the second floor, so there's, like, a balustrade there. And you could fall off of that right down on the first floor. So it was kind of scary. And the hallway was a little bit wider than this space. And so we had desks across both sides, and we're all the people that were, like, you know, the Young Socialist Alliance people, the ones who identified as communists, you know, were out there, and we were going to man the barricade or person the barricade. And so they came marching up, and here's this, like, then they're all really angry, and they're going to, like, trounce us, and we're behind all these desks and things. And this person who was sort of my hero at the time, because he was such an amazing speaker, was Peter Cameo, who ran as president or something in California, the Green Party and everything else. And which is interesting, because I'm thinking, okay, I want to talk about this. So I went online, and I hadn't ever looked him up. And there's all this stuff about Peter Cameo. I never knew what happened to him after that incident. So, and when he talks about it in his memoirs, and it was my same memory. It was cool when that happens. You know, you go, like, wow, that's how I remembered it. And so Peter goes up and is trying to talk to their guy. Right, so here's all these 60 people, and they're going, and they're mad. And here's all of us, and we're saying, you can't come in. And next thing you know, it was like a wall of fists, and people were fighting. Like, they were, like, you know, going like that. And I was, like, going, wow, I never seen anything like it. Well, there's tactics. You know, what you do is you hold somebody's belt, and then you push them into the other people. See, but you have to hold their belt, because they'll try to pull that person in, and then that person will get trounced. So you hold the belt. So I'm holding, you know, I don't know, some of Peter's belt or something, and then pretty soon it was my turn. So somebody's holding my belt and pushing me. And I remember I hit a person. I actually picture his face right now, and I actually hit him like that, and I felt terrible, and I go, so they pulled me away, because I wasn't hitting anymore, you know, I couldn't do it, because I still picture that shocked look on his face, like, wow, somebody hit me, and I had a shocked look, like, because I hit somebody. So anyway, the fight finally, you know, wound down, but one guy got hurt really bad. He got pulled into the other side, and he lost an eye, and he got to go to the hospital. In the meantime, there was this elevator there. We're on the second floor, so the elevator would come up, and it would open, and there'd be people on the elevator. And they would see this huge fight, you know. And so we were always afraid, like, if you get sucked into the elevator, then you'd go down. If you came up, you might be on the wrong side. So you really try to avoid being in the elevator. So eventually it stopped, you know. I mean, the fight ended, and the rally went on, and then the rally was at, you know, Boston Common, and 100,000 people came, and all these people spoke, and Peter Cameo got to speak, and he rallied. He was such a radical. And so that's kind of it, except there's other things at that time, because I was speaking a lot, and I was in the Young Socialist Alliance, And so I'm in this march. I'll be real quick. I'm in this march, and this guy steps off a curb, and he has wearing a suit and tie and a buzz cut, and he told me my history. He says, well, I know who you are, and you were married, and this is your kid, and you live such and such and everything, and I just want you to know we're watching you. And I just went, wow, he's watching me. So, you know, it's like it was to intimidate me. Well, I didn't get intimidated, and I kept doing it. But eventually I stopped because they started persecuting the soldiers when they came back, and I got really upset about that. So instead of being like an angry communist protester, I started doing street theater and stuff like that, but I still protested the war.